Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
Summer is a good time for stories. There's lots of time to tell stories, road trip stories, camping stories, stories from the lake, stories from the backyard. That one story that gets told every summer of that one time when you went to go and do the thing and everything fell apart. And it was just one wrong turn after another. And the story gets told every year. And even maybe sometimes the story grows year after year after year. But often the best stories that we tell each other, they're stories with a twist. They're stories where as the story is progressing, there becomes a moment where you say, wait, what? What just happened? That wasn't what was supposed to happen. And those are the stories that we remember and the stories that stick with us and the stories we love to share. And over the summer, at least when I'm preaching, over the summer, the rhythm of preaching, it's going to change a little bit over the summer. You're going to hear, if you've been a part of our church for a while, you know I like to preach. And so I preach a lot. But over the summer, there's going to be a few different voices and a few different rhythms. In fact, just this week, last Sunday, if you were with us, I spoke in the first service and Pastor Cyril spoke in the second service. This week, we're flipping that. Pastor Cyril spoke this morning. I'm obviously preaching now, no surprise there. Next Sunday, Pastor Matt's going to be preaching. And so there's going to be a little bit of a different rhythm. But when I'm preaching, when I have the opportunity to be to share God's word with you, we're going to spend some time in some stories from the book of Mark where that same feeling happens. That same sort of, wait, what happens? Stories where you're reading along, and as you're reading along, it comes to a moment where you have to think to yourself, wait, what did I just read? What did I just read? Stories where Jesus says something, and we have to say to ourselves, that doesn't sound like Jesus would say that. Or he heals in a way that we wouldn't have expected, or responds in a way that feels confusing. It doesn't feel right. Or does something that, at least on the surface, raises more questions than it seems to answer. And if we're honest with these kind of stories, a lot of times they're stories that we skip or we move past quickly because we'll read them and they don't really make sense. And so we just kind of put hope that, well, smarter people than me probably know what was going on there, but we'll just move past it because I don't understand. That story didn't quite make sense to me, but I'm sure somebody somewhere knows why Jesus did that, but let's just keep going. And by we, I don't just mean us when we read our Bibles. I mean pastors too. That there are some stories in the gospel that on the surface are a lot harder to preach. And so even as pastors, we can be guilty of reading some of these stories and going, I don't think God called me to preach on that one this week. We're going to move on to the next one because it's cleaner. It seems nicer. It feels a little more like a preachable sermon. It's easier to apply. It fits more neatly into the version of Jesus that we already know how to talk about. But one of the gifts of Scripture is that it doesn't just give us stories the way that we would like for the stories to be told. It doesn't just give us fairy tale, sort of nice, wrapped up in a bow kind of stories where the lesson and the moral is always so clear and there's a moment where, well, what did we learn today, children? Instead, it gives us real life, real stories. And sometimes real life and real stories are a little more complicated. So the conviction behind our times together this summer is pretty simple in its concept, a little more difficult in its execution. But the idea is that sometimes the stories we usually skip are stories where there's grace that we just haven't seen yet. The story may be weird, but the grace is real. And so we're going to look at a collection of stories that, for one reason or another, from the life of Jesus, these events, these interactions, that when we read them, we just go, that was weird. But we're going to discover together that as we move through these weird stories, that there's meaningful grace attached to them. And today, we begin with a story that doesn't start out weird. In fact, it starts out ideal. It doesn't start out in a place where we're like, well, what's going on? It starts out in a place where we go, wow, that's incredible. There's no spit in this story. That comes later. There's no people that look like trees. That also comes later. There's no story of Jesus cursing fig trees. That also comes later. Today's story isn't as weird as that. But I think it's actually one of the weirdest stories in the Gospel of Mark, because it challenges a lot of what we would assume to be true. It challenges anyone who's ever felt tired or needed or pulled in every direction, responsible for other people, or ever felt pressured by other people's expectations. Because in this story, people are looking for Jesus. People need Jesus. People are crying out for Jesus. People are coming to find Jesus. And as the people come looking for Jesus, Jesus walks away. As people are saying, I want to find Jesus. Jesus walks away. And so to fully understand the weirdness of this story, we need to move back a little bit from the weird moment so we can understand exactly what's going on to make sense of it all or to feel the weight of the weirdness. Because Jesus doesn't walk away from nothing. He doesn't walk away because nothing important is happening. He does not walk away from a need that's ignored or exaggerated. He doesn't walk away because the people reject him. He doesn't walk away because things are not the way they should be. He walks away after what looks like an incredibly meaningful, powerful, fruitful night of ministry. And so just a few verses before our weird moment, Jesus goes to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon is who will come to be known as Peter. And so as we're reading about Simon here, is Simon Peter. Simon, before his name's changed to Peter, his name is Simon. And so we're reading about him and his mother-in-law here. And we start reading in verse 29 of Mark chapter 1. And it'll say this. As soon as they left the synagogue, that's Jesus and his disciples, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went in and took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. Now this is a story that feels like Jesus. This is the Jesus that we understand. It's a beautiful picture of the compassion of Jesus. There's no spotlight. There's no stage. There's no big crowd. There's no dramatic speech. There's just a moment of need. And Jesus, full of compassion, meets that need. He enters a home, sees a woman who's sick, takes her by the hand, and raises her up. And she's healed. And then as she's healed, the story begins to spread throughout the neighbors. The neighbors hear what happens, and the story begins to spread from person to person, from home to home. People are starting to hear about Simon's mother-in-law and that Jesus healed her and who Jesus is. And then what we read is that in verse 32, this small family miracle begins to turn into an event. And in verse 32, we read, that evening after sunset, the people all around brought all the sick and demon-possessed. And we read in verse 33, the whole town gathered at the door. That's such a vivid line. It gives us this picture of this house and the door opening to the street. And you open the door and there's just a sea of people. All people who brought their sick friends and their friends who need a touch from Jesus, who need healing, who need peace, friends who need their life to be changed. And they've heard this story about Jesus and his ability to heal Simon's mother-in-law. And so maybe he can help my friend too. And so they all come one by one until there's a whole crowd. People helping sick friends down the street. Parents carrying children. Neighbors bringing neighbors. People standing outside the house hoping that maybe Jesus would be able to have mercy on them too. Maybe Jesus would speak a word over them too. Maybe Jesus would bring freedom to their home too. Maybe what Jesus did for them, he could do for me. And the doorway is crowded and the street is full. And the night is alive with need and ministry. And Mark says in verse 34 that Jesus responds to the need. He healed many who had various diseases. And he also drove out many demons. As the need is presented, Jesus is healing. And he's restoring lives. And he's bringing healing and wholeness to this community. Person after person. Situation after situation. And Jesus continues healing people. Until finally the need doesn't end, but the night does. And so Jesus and his disciples, we're going to have to stop for now. Let's go to bed and get some rest. It's getting late into the night. But Mark, the story starts to become a little weirder, starting in verse 35. Because even though Jesus was hard at work well into the night, verse 35 tells us that Jesus gets up early the next morning, even before the sun is up. And he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. After a night like the one Jesus just had, there's a lot of places that we might expect him to go. We might expect him to go back to the door. We might expect him to go find the crowd. We might expect him to have a little staff meeting with his disciples. And to be able to say, last night went great. How can we improve on that? How can we scale this up? What we need to do is we need to bring some organization to it. So maybe what we'll do is we'll set up a registration table where we can have people come and they'll register and they can write down what their need is. And then we can have a flow of people. And instead of just having this crowd, we could bring some order to it. And maybe we can do this more efficiently. We could do this better. How do we organize the line? How do we manage the momentum? Things are going so well. How can we take what was yesterday and run with it? But Jesus doesn't begin by checking the crowd. He doesn't begin the day by measuring response. He doesn't begin the day by asking what people expect from him. Jesus begins the day with his Father. He goes and he prays. And this is not because Jesus is detached from the pain around him. He's just spent the night healing people. It's not that he doesn't care. He's just demonstrated that he cares deeply. This is not because prayer is a way of avoiding need. That he's, well, I can't help you because I'm going to pray. That's not what's taking place here. For Jesus, prayer is the place where he remains rooted in his Father's voice, in his Father's heart, and his Father's mission. He's not running on adrenaline. He's not running on applause. He's not running on urgency. He's not running on the crowds, or he's not running on the emotional high of a successful night. He needs to live in connection with his Father. And so before Jesus finds the disciples, before he responds to the crowd, before he decides what comes next, he wants to go and spend some time with his Father, to be with his Father and to be led by his Father, because Jesus needs to be driven by the Father, not by the crowds. And then what you would expect to happen happens. Mark says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. As they wake up and they discover Jesus isn't there, the disciples, we need to find Jesus. And so they go looking for Jesus. And when they finally find him, we read, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. You can almost hear the urgency in their voices. Jesus, what are you doing here? Everyone is back in town. Everyone is back at the house. Everyone is waiting. Everyone is asking where you are. Everyone's expecting you. Everyone is looking for you. People are starting to line up and they're starting to show up with their friends. Jesus, we need you because something is happening again. And I can understand the disciples here. This isn't one of those stories where you look and go, oh, foolish disciples. Everything is happening just the way it's supposed to. This is the blueprint that we have, that when we tell stories of successful ministry, we tell stories that look just like this. You know, when you hear stories of these amazing church plants, and they'll say, oh, at our first meeting, you know, there was just 10 of us. But then within 2 months, there was 8,000 or whatever. And that's what this looks like. That Jesus just began to work, and more and more and more people were responding. Yesterday was incredible. They're not inventing needs that don't exist. They're not asking Jesus to do something wrong. From their perspective, Jesus, look at what's happening. We need to go and be a part of this. Yesterday was incredible. People were healed. Demons were cast out. The whole town responded. And now the morning has come and people want more. Jesus, I can't wait to see what happens next. Jesus, there's people who need you. Jesus, there's people who want you. There's people who are expecting you. There's people who are longing for you. There's people who are hoping for you. So let's go back. Let's go meet the need. Let's go find the people who are looking for Jesus. Let's go find the people who are asking for you. And it's here, in this solitary place, when the whole town is looking for Jesus, responding to Jesus and who he is. And the disciples come to him and say, everyone is looking for you. Jesus answers in a way that no one would expect, in a way that doesn't sound like Jesus, in a way that's weird. To the whole town, looking for Jesus, longing for Jesus, wanting Jesus. When the disciples say to them, let's go meet their needs, Jesus says, let's go somewhere else. To the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I've come. This is the weird moment. Because it's not the answer we would expect. The disciples say, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus says, let's go somewhere else. The whole town is crying out. Revival is taking place. People are coming to Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, I think I want to go somewhere else instead. That doesn't sound like Jesus. That doesn't sound like what we're supposed to do. People start coming to church, and we go, actually, you know what? Let's shut the whole thing down, and let's move to Balzac. Well, no, people are coming. We need, okay, let's add another. We did. Let's add another service. Okay, maybe we need to add another. The need is responding. We need to respond. But into the face of that, Jesus says, let's go somewhere else. Not, you're right, I should go back. Not, I forgot how much they needed me. Not, let's make the most of this opportunity. Not, this is exactly the kind of momentum we've been waiting for. But let's go somewhere else. And this is where the story is weird. Where it gets under our skin a little bit. Where we read through that and we go, oh, I don't know what Jesus meant, but it was probably good because he's Jesus. And we just kind of move past it to find a story that sounds more like Jesus. Because in response to people looking for Jesus, you know, in other places in Scripture, Jesus will say, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, I'll come in and I'll be with them. And in Jeremiah, God tells us, if you seek me, you will find me. And yet, here, people are seeking Jesus. And Jesus says, nope, I'm going to go somewhere else. It doesn't sound like Jesus. It doesn't preach like Jesus. It's not the Jesus we want to read about. But I think in this story, there is a word that so many of us need to hear. Probably all of us to some degree or another need to hear. Because I think that many of us know what this feels like. Just like Jesus, many of us wake up in the morning and know what it feels like to have everyone looking for you. Maybe not literally everyone, but some days it can sure feel close. Your family is looking for you. Your job is looking for you. Your phone is looking for you. Your inbox is looking for you. Your calendar is looking for you. Your responsibilities are looking for you. The people you love are looking for you. The needs around you are looking for you. Your day has already started, and already there's messages waiting. There's emails waiting. There's responsibilities waiting. There's children waiting. There's work waiting. There's decisions waiting. There's bills waiting. There's appointments waiting. There's notifications waiting. And sometimes the version of yourself that you're trying to maintain is waiting. Feeling the need to be the dependable one, the strong one, the available one, the one who always says yes, the one who doesn't disappoint people, the one who keeps everything together. Everyone is looking for you. And then, if we can't meet every need, if we can't answer every message, if we can't solve every problem, if we can't carry every burden, if we can't meet everyone's expectation, we feel guilty. And so we keep saying yes. We keep showing up. We keep carrying more. We keep stretching ourselves thinner and thinner and thinner. And we tell ourselves, this is what love looks like. This is what faithfulness looks like. This is what loving my neighbor looks like. This is what being a good person, being a good Christian looks like. And it can happen so quietly. We start with love. We start with compassion. We start with a genuine desire to help. But somewhere along the way, we start picking up things that we were never asked by God to carry. and we begin confusing being needed with being called. We begin saying yes because we're afraid of disappointment. We begin confusing availability with being faithful. We begin confusing exhaustion with obedience. And I think that this is where this story becomes both confronting and challenging. Because some of us, maybe you, need to hear that not every need is an assignment. Not every expectation is obedience. Not every open door is God's direction. And not every urgent thing is the most faithful thing. Not every person looking for you gets to define what God is asking of you. And in this story, Jesus takes that burden that we can carry. And not because he's not compassionate, not because he's not loving, not because he doesn't care, but Jesus shows us something different. Jesus shows us that faithfulness is not the same thing as endless availability. Obedience is not the same thing as meeting every expectation. Compassion is not the same thing as being controlled by every need. Because if Jesus allows the expectations of Capernaum, that's where they were, that's the name of the city they were in. And if he allows the expectations of Capernaum to define his mission, he will become very popular in one town. He will meet every need there. The town will love him. But he won't be faithful to why he came. And so in the face of the need, Jesus needs to be faithful to his Father. And so he leaves. Not because he doesn't love them, but because love is not the same thing as doing everything people want. Not because their needs are unimportant, but because real needs don't get to determine the Father's mission. Not because healing doesn't matter, but because the kingdom that Jesus is trying to build is a lot bigger than one night of miracles. And maybe that's the grace that we need to hear in this weird story. Because at first, this story can feel like rejection by Jesus. It can feel like the God who we will talk about, sing about, and pray about, the God that we will say, he's always there when you need him. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, you can turn to Jesus and he will meet you. And on the surface, it looks like unless you meet this Jesus, in which case, maybe not. When Jesus walks away in Mark chapter 1, it might seem weird at first, but the story is weird. But the grace is real. So this week, maybe pay attention to that sentence. And with it being VBS week, this might be really hard for some of us. But pay attention to the sentence, everyone is looking for you. Where do you feel that? Where do you feel hunted by expectation? Where do you feel ruled by urgency? Where do you feel guilty for being limited? Where have you started to believe that if there is a need, then it has to be your assignment to fill it? And then bring your crowded doorway to Jesus. The places where everyone is looking for us. The responsibilities, the expectations, the guilt, the pressure, the good things, the real needs. And then I want to invite you to pay attention to Jesus and ask, Father, what does faithfulness look like today for me? Not, God, give me the strength to make everyone happy. Not, God, how do I meet everyone's need? Not, how do I keep every plate spinning? How do I keep every ball in the air? How do I manage all of these expectations? But instead, Father, what are you asking of me? Because sometimes obedience will bring us back to the door. Sometimes God will say, get up and get right back to it. I've got more of that for you again today. Sometimes compassion will require us to give, serve, answer, show up, and carry something heavy with someone else. But sometimes faithfulness might end up looking an awful lot like disappointing someone. Sometimes love will mean refusing to be controlled by pressure. There are times when the most faithful thing we can do is stay. And there are times when the most faithful thing we can do is stop. There are times when the most faithful thing we can do is say yes. And there are times when the most faithful thing we can do is say, let's go somewhere else. The story's weird. Jesus walks away. But the grace is real. Because he walks away from the crowd so that he can keep walking in obedience with his Father. And eventually, that road leads him all the way to the cross. For the people of Capernaum, for the people of Galilee, for the people of Israel, for the people of the world, for them, for us, for the world. Jesus said no so that he could say yes. So three takeaways for the message this morning. First, Jesus was led by the Father, not driven by the crowd. After a night of remarkable ministry, when everything seemed exactly the way that it should be, everything felt right in the world, Jesus begins the next day by seeking the Father rather than just following the crowd's expectation. Faithfulness is listening to God's voice before reacting to everyone else's demands. Second, not every need is an assignment. Jesus cared deeply for the people of Capernaum. He gave his life for them. But he also knew that every need was not his assignment in that moment. We're called to love others, but we also need the wisdom to discern what God is actually calling us to carry. And third, faithfulness is measured by obedience, not by availability. Jesus shows us that faithfulness isn't about saying yes to everyone. It's about saying yes to our Father. Sometimes obedience means staying. Sometimes obedience means going. It means walking away from good things in order to remain faithful to God's greater calling. Let's pray together. Father God, you know the weight that life can put on us. God, you know the needs that we have as people. God, you know the needs that we have as individuals. You know the needs that we have as a society. God, you know that this world, us as people, are full of needs. And God, as we follow you and become more like you, and we have compassion, and we have love, and we have care for the people around us, God, we confess that it can be hard to understand what you've called us to do, what you've called us to be, who you've called us to help, how you've called us to walk through life. But God, I thank you that in Scripture, in your word, in your life, God, I thank you that you give us a picture of what it means to be faithful to our calling, what it means to be loving and to be faithful, what it means to be full of compassion but driven by mission. And so, God, I pray for each one of us here today. God, I pray that you would help us to have a relationship with you that is first and foremost shaped by our relationship with you. That our relationship with you wouldn't look like to-do lists, that it wouldn't look like things to accomplish, that it wouldn't look like guilt or shame because we haven't done everything for everyone. But God, I pray that our relationship with you would look a whole lot like Jesus's, where our first priority, our first heart step, our first moments are driven by our relationship with you. And then, God, I pray for each one here. God, would you give us the wisdom and the discernment as we look to be led by you? God, would you help us to be able to see what's ours to carry? And God, the courage, the grace, the strength to be able to put down what's not ours. God, that we would be able to not be ruled by need, that we would not be ruled by urgency, that we would not be ruled just by what's happening around us. And I'm called to love my neighbor, so I've got to do this. But God, I pray that as we grow with you, God, I pray that you would help us to be able to understand who you've called us to be and what you've called us to do. God, I pray that we would be effective, that we would be faithful. But God, that we would be effective and faithful, not because we met everyone's need, not because we did everything for everyone, but because we were who we were called to be. God, would you give us the grace, give us the strength. God, give us what we need in order to be a people who live the lives you've called us to live, not the lives that everyone around us is demanding we live. God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. God, I pray that we would be faithful to walk that out. God, I thank you for the grace, even in the stories that are weird. And God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful and to be obedient to who you've called us to be. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,